Welcome to a podcast of Aurelia Community Church, where we desire to bring the whole gospel to the whole person, to the whole world, proclaiming the liberating power of the gospel as we grow, serve, and go. Join us in this message as we look to the scriptures, seeking to be transformed into the image of Christ.
To have things become nice, to become have things become comfortable, to settle for what we like. Jacob's going to come back in a few moments, but I want to take a few minutes right now to share some things out of Colossians and some things that was involved in this last week. So Paul writes, we've been working our way through Colossians, so let me summarize a little bit. Paul says, "We thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people." And that's who we want to be. We truly want to be known for our faith, not faith in an abstract sense, but faith that's rooted and grounded in who Jesus is. And flowing out of that, a love for all God's people. And we need to be careful how we define that. It's because it's easy to go to the club mentality, and God's people are the people like me and the people in OCC, but all God's people are all the people that God has created, which the last time I checked includes everybody in this world. And so that's who we're called to love and to care for, and the gospel's bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world. As I mentioned, we were at Vision Ministries consultation this week, a couple of days in Waterloo. And I love that event because there's an opportunity to connect with people I haven't seen in a year or some from Halifax and some from Quebec and out on Vancouver Island, and meeting people having lunch with some people from Ethiopia and Iran and Indonesia and breakfast with a guy from China. And one of them said, "You know, I think we're all coming to Canada because you guys haven't gone to the world." Yeah, Jesus said go, and we haven't gone, and those people are coming. It's really, really kind of neat. Just as been, and so Paul goes on and said, God's continuing to do this, and we are being transformed by God's grace. And that's my heart. That's our heart, that we want to see everyone that we come in contact be transformed by Jesus. And so then Paul begins to pray for the church there. And this is how we need to pray for one another, asking God to give you wise minds, give you spirits attuned to his will, and so acquire a thorough understanding of the way God works, which is often totally different than our default way of understanding how God works. I pray that you live well for the Master, making him proud of you as you work hard in his orchard. As you learn more and more how God works, you'll learn how to do your work. I pray you'll have the strength to stick it out over the long haul, not the grim strength of gritting your teeth, but the glory strength that God gives. It's a strength that endures the endurable. It spills over into joy, thanking the Father who makes us strong enough to take part in everything bright and beautiful that he has for us. You know, that's how we're to pray for one another. It's not about simply praying for health and safety, though we pray that for one another. But God has so much more than simply surviving. He wants us to experience his joy, his grace, and most of all, his presence. And then Paul goes on, helps us see the big picture. We look at his son. We look at Jesus, and we see the God who cannot be seen. We look at his son, and we see God's original purpose in everything he created. For everything, he says, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank after rank of angels, everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him. He was there before any of it came into existence and holds it all together right up to this moment. You know, if that doesn't make us stop and go, wow. If that doesn't make us stop and enter into worship, then we're blind. We're emotionally dead because we're not seeing who God is and all that he has for us. He goes on and talks about the church. He says, when it comes to the church, he organizes, holds it together like a head does a body. He was supreme in the beginning, and leading the resurrection parade, he's supreme in the end. From beginning to end, he's there, towering far above everything, everyone. So spacious is he, so roomy, that everything of God finds its proper place in him without crowding. And that's, you really, one of the key roles of our leadership team is listening to Jesus, listening to the head, determining what the Father has for us and helping us to stretch out so we make room for all that God wants to do in us and through us and in our city and in our world, making room for others to come in to the family of God. Not only that, but all the broken and dislocated pieces of the universe, people and things, animals and atoms, get properly fixed and fit together in vibrant harmonies, all because of his death, his blood that poured down from the cross. That's such an important thing to grasp and understand. There's room in God for all the brokenness, all the messiness, all the screw-ups. Not only out there in our world, in our community, and we're going to, those of you who are doing the enumeration this week will discover some of that. Not just in general, not just in our city and our world, but in us. He makes room. And God wants to take all those broken places, all those dislocations, all those wounded stuff, and he wants to fix and fit them together. He wants to transform them. In those places where there's been trauma, where there's been severe hurt, he wants to change things. I was talking to Garrett online this week. Garrett, for those of you who don't know, is a minister among the Afar in Ethiopia, an unreached people group. There's maybe 400 or 500 believers, and he was actually doing a training session that I had was part of just over a year ago, and so I sent my greetings and got greetings back from people who remembered me. But there was one man, Muhammad. Muhammad was a violent man. When he tells his story, he says, "I may or may not have killed people in the past." And so he was at one of these training centers that Garrett had established. And his house got broken into and robbed. And people in that community and that clan were so fearful. If Muhammad comes back, he's going to break my arm, or maybe he's even going to kill me. Muhammad came back to that community. He did none of that. In fact, Muhammad went to the person who broke into his house and said, "Is there anything that you need?" And offered him resources if he needed it. You know, that only happens by the power of God. That's not our default. Maybe your natural default isn't to kill somebody, but your natural default isn't to offer support to somebody who's broken in and robbed you. Paul goes on and says, this is all a mystery. This mystery has been kept in the dark for a long time, but now it's out in the open. God wanted everyone, and he's writing in a Jewish context, not just to the Jews to know this rich and glorious secret inside out, but regardless of their background, regardless of their religious standing, the mystery in a nutshell is just this: Christ in you. Therefore, you can look forward to sharing in God's glory. It's that simple. One of the seminars I was at this week dealt with the arts. And Randy, who was leading it, is a West Coast pastor on the Vancouver Island. And they started this group where about every couple of months people can just come in. Doesn't matter whether you're a believer or not. And just perform your music. And all sorts of conversations have started through that. One of the people involved with that is a jazz pianist. And Randy had gone to hear her one night play, and she was part of their congregation. And that night, or the next morning, she was scheduled to be on the worship team. But her drummer that night had no place to go, so he crashed on her couch that night. And she gets up the next morning and leaves early to get things ready to set up, because they were a church that was meeting in a rented hall. So, as Randy says, I'm a church planter, so that means I set up chairs on Sunday morning. And so she's off to play keyboards for worship. And her friend, her drummer, says, "Shall I get up and come along as well?" She says, "Sure, come along to church." And so he comes along, and he sees Randy setting up chairs. So he says, "Can I help?" He says, "Sure." And anybody who's setting up chairs will always take help in that. So they're setting chairs up, and after they've worked a little bit, Randy recognizes that this guy's rows aren't very straight. And so he says, "Are you high?" He says, "Yeah." So why don't you just go sit down for there, and I'll straighten things up. Make a long story short, he's in our coffee shop, what, 3 or 4 days afterwards. And as he walks into the coffee shop and orders his latte, he hears this voice from across the coffee shop in a loud voice, "Hi, Pastor!" It was his drummer. The only time he had been to his church was when he was high to set up chairs, but he recognized them and called them by name. And, you know, do we make space? Do we make space for people, no matter where they're coming from, no matter what they're like, no matter what they're struggling with? You know, we do things like collect toilet paper for Green Haven, or for food for the food bank. We come alongside those are hurting. But you see, handouts are not the answer. It's coming alongside, building those relationships, helping people enter into a relationship with Jesus. This, Paul says, this is the substance of our message. We preach Christ, warning people not to add to the message. Let's keep it simple. It's on Jesus. We teach in a spirit of profound common sense so we can bring each person to maturity. To be mature is to be basic. Christ, no more, no less. And Paul says, that's what I'm working hard at, day after day, year after year. And he says, my goal is that you be encouraged in heart, that you may have the full riches of complete understanding, so you can know the full mystery of God, namely Christ. And then he goes on, he says, here's what I want you to do. Just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, day after day. Day after day, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, overflowing with thankfulness. Not following a political leader, though we speak into the political world. Not depending solely on certain authors, but learning to read the Scriptures. And more importantly, learning to meditate. Learning to ruminate. Learning to chew on the Word. See, because the goal is not so that we can know the text. As important as that is, the goal is that we know Jesus and we know the fullness of who He is and we understand the fullness of what He is doing in us and through us and what He desires for us. And so you enter into this fullness. It's not something you figure out or achieve. It's not a matter of keeping a long list of laws. Paul says, no, you're already in. Not through some secretive initiation rite, but rather through what Christ has already done through you, destroying the power of sin. And so let me talk to you a little bit about I Live Again Uganda. And those of you who were here last Sunday heard some of this, and those of you who were here a week ago heard some of this from Benson and Tricia. So next slide. So there's Uganda, just above the equator in Central Africa. Uganda's called the Pearl of Africa. Next slide. So there's Africa. You land in Entebbe. Kampala is the capital. And I Live Again Uganda is working in the Acholi Quarter in Kampala. And it's a slum on the side of a mountain. And when it rains, those who are at the bottom of the hill get washed out. With all of the effluent and all of the sewage that comes rushing down the side of that mountain. Go back. And the other place they work up is right near the top, just below that red zone, a town called Gulu, which is actually the second largest city in Uganda. That red zone, you notice the travel advice says do not go there. Well, so we went there. So next slide. So those are some of the major relocation camps, refugee settlements in northern Uganda. People come across from South Sudan and come across from the Congo because of oppression, because of the violence, because of civil war that's taking place in those places. The camp called Bidi Bidi, which is the one near the top, has over 280,000 people in it. It's currently the largest refugee camp in the world. Huge number of people. There's anywhere between, depending on the day of the week, somewhere between 500 and 2,500 people that cross the borders every single day. Well, I Live Again Uganda, which is a ministry that's rooted in dealing with trauma And so it started out of the Lord's Resistance Army, Joseph Kony movement back in the 70s and 80s, where there was violence that would take place in many, many places. And so there were wives. And so they would come into this village, and they wouldn't hurt somebody deliberately. So if I was Lord's Resistance Army, I wouldn't come to Jacob and say, I'm going to cut your arm off. I'd say, Jacob, I want you to cut your brother's arm off. And so, of course, that creates all sorts of conflict and pain and hurt. And so they began offering this counseling that's rooted in trauma and began to teach people that the only way to recover from that, the only way to find healing is in forgiveness and offering forgiveness. And so the Ugandan government has invited them to take that message into those refugee camps, which is an incredible opportunity. Thousands and thousands of people. One of the tools that they use, aside from their community-based trauma counseling, is they want to show the Jesus film. And one of the reasons for showing the Jesus film is it's available in so many languages. It's currently translated into about 1,500 languages. One of the camps I was in, camp of about 15,000 people, there were over 40 languages represented in that camp. And those were all people that were coming from the Congo. And so that's an excerpt from the Jesus film. And so what we want to do, where our offering is going to be a little bit later, is to help them buy the sound system they need. They have the projector, they've got the screens, but they don't have a decent sound system. And so that's going to cost them around $2,000. It's something that needs to be bought here in Canada because it's not available in Uganda. And so we're... Benson's already gone back. Trisha's not going back until about the 3rd or 4th of May. So that's where we're taking the offering this week. And so she can buy it and take that equipment back in a week or two. Trauma is so deep. And yet God is doing such a powerful work in finding people who are being set free. I've shared this story before, and I'll share it again multiple times. One of those people that they worked with down in the Acholi Quarter, he and his family wanted to move back to their original village. That's where they're from. And so they took them back and met with the elders and made all the arrangements for them to move back. And when Francis and his wife and his two kids moved back, he went to one of the people who had harmed his brother and says, I forgive you. Jesus has forgiven me. I want to forgive you. And he offered him a chicken as a sign that I've forgiven you. That was about 4 years ago. Last year when I was there, there's about 50 or 60 people that are meeting on Sunday underneath a tree, worshiping God together. They had no plans to plant a church or start a church there. But the power of God, forgiveness being lived out, transforms lives. It raised all sorts of questions. One of the phrases I sometimes remind us of, we need to live questionable lives. Questionable in the sense that our lives are so radically different that people ask questions. What makes you different? How are you changed? So Paul says, don't trust in people who are completely out of touch with the source of life, who puts us together in one piece, whose very breath and blood flow through us. He's the head. We are the body. We grow up healthy in God as He nourishes us. So we're connected to the vine. He does all that He wants us to do. So let's pray together. So Father, we come, we gather in Jesus' name this morning, and we worship you. We celebrate your love and your grace. Father, we gather and we bring our needs. We bring who we are. And so this morning, as you've come, who are you? What have you come? What have you come with? So some of you are here and you're full of joy and life and excitement. And some are hurting. Feel discouraged. Feel beaten up. I invite you just to take your hands and open them up and say, Lord, this is what I offer you. This is who I am this morning. Take it. Take it, Lord. I offer you my joy. Lord, I don't know what to do with this situation. I don't know what to do with this pain. Take it. And as your hands remain open, Lord, I invite you by your Spirit to pour out what you want to pour out into each person's life. Because you know us. You know what we need. You know what we need to hear. And so, Lord, we pray this. And we invite you to work in miraculous ways. Lord, this morning I want to lift up little Rosalie who's going through some struggles right now as she waits for a heart. And Lord, I just pray for your hand to be upon her, to be upon her parents, upon her siblings. Lord, may they be so surrounded with the awareness of your presence that they are loved. And so thank you, Lord, that you are God, that you are at work. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We pray that God will use this message to strengthen your faith and draw you into a deeper relationship with Jesus. If you are interested in other sermons or want to know more about Aurelia Community Church, please visit our website at www.occweb.org.